B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in and good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you this morning. First and foremost, sorry, Flyers fans. That was a rough one last night. Wee bit of a rough one. Did you bet the game, Trey?
No, I did not bet that one, but I did have a good bet last night.
You know,
there was something that just popped across my screen. Where there it was like, hey, you know what? It was like one of those little odds boosters.
Right.
Where if Kyrie Irving got a triple-double, you know, it was like plus 4,000.
Those are my favorite kind of bets.
Yeah, plus 4,000. So I'm like, you know what? Whatever, man. I'd throw a little something at it. Mm. Well, Kyrie Irving went out and had a triple-double. Bam!
Wow, that is a good night for you, my
friend.
Unlike Flyers, man. It was a good night for you. Good for you. That's great. I have an issue. There are some people that will paint this DeSean Jackson fella in a bad light. And there was that article years ago that really put him in the worst possible light that a person could be in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was bad.
Yeah.
And then DeSean Jackson 5 years ago, unceremoniously, was released by Chip Kelly and that version of the Eagles. That was a rough one.
Yeah.
But there was some other guy that came into the NovaCare complex yesterday to address the media that just seemed like a totally different fella than the one that left here.
Absolutely.
And I was never in the school of DeSean Jackson's the worst person ever or anything like that, or he's a locker room poison or whatever. I just thought he was a very talented wide receiver that was extremely confident. That's what I thought he was in the locker room. The guy that we saw yesterday at the podium at the NovaCare complex, it was like seeing an old buddy from college that was the drunkest guy you knew, the biggest partier that you knew. And like,
hey guys, driving a station wagon.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a minivan.
He's got four kids.
Yeah.
Soccer dad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was just like, dude,
yeah.
You know, Crazy Eddie, whatever. Yeah. Hey, good to see you.
Hey,
buddy.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I was going to say Frank the Tank.
We don't want you being that person anymore.
We know you had fun, Frank. The whole neighborhood knows you had fun.
Frank the Wrong pipe. Frank the Tank, what's up, man?
Oh, hello. How are you today?
Mm-hmm. It's good to see you.
Greetings.
It's going to be good to catch up with you over a cup of coffee later.
You know, that's what we saw yesterday.
Maybe we'll enjoy some recreation later on.
Yeah. You know?
Maybe some chess.
See you a little backgammon later.
Yeah.
Some shuffleboard. That's what it seemed like. Am I wrong? Like, that's what it seemed like watching DeSean Jackson yesterday. It seemed like there was this old school, like, party guy, Frank the Tank, that all of a sudden turned into nothing against accountants. You're about to be very popular people in tax season. But, like, the accountant, the CPA.
Man. Or unpopular if you've done your taxes.
That wears silk.
New tax rules, jeez.
Silk was a bold choice.
Yeah.
Silk was a bold choice.
And it didn't look right.
It was shiny silk, man.
Yeah, but it looked like he didn't iron it or something.
Hey, man, it was fresh out the pack, man. We ain't got time for the
fresh
details.
Out the pack. It was fresh out the pack, wasn't it?
Look, man, I'm going fresh out the pack, man. Let's snatch the plastic off of this, throw this on, let's go, baby.
Yeah,
it's
all right.
Silk.
It's Kelly green
breathe,
silk.
You know? Yeah, you
Kelly green.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. It's a good point.
In Florida, you know, you just need something to kind of, you know, it flows.
I guess another analogy, it's like he went into the hilltops. He went into the mountains and, you know, hung out with like Tibetan monks or something and then came down a wiser man.
With a shirt. With a beautiful shirt.
But look, that's personality.
Yeah.
That's the off the field stuff, right? That's the, I guess, I don't know, the nook and crannies of it all. But what really matters is how he's going to perform on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And after the show we did, I guess it was on Tuesday, where news really broke that DeSean Jackson was going to come back to Philadelphia, most of our listeners think, and most of our callers, most of our voters on our Twitter poll, feel as if DeSean Jackson is going to have a very positive, a guy that could get you 700 to 900 yards, get you some touchdowns. That's a pretty nice impact on this team.
Yeah, after listening to him last night, I might go 1,000.
Really?
Man, after listening to D-Jack, I'm like, wow. D-Jack sounds like he is focused, like he's ready to get here, like he's ready to put in work, man.
He talked about this being a great opportunity for himself, talked about his relationship with Doug, talked about his relationship with Howie Roseman and how that's been over the last couple of years since he hasn't been here. He wouldn't even get into the Chip Kelly stuff. They tried driving down that alley, and he's like, I'm kind of not going there.
Which I'm glad that he's kind of like, you know what, that part of it is over with. There's no need in harping on that. You know, that chapter in his life is over with. what, you can't go back and fix it. So, you know, all right, let's move on. But if you just look at, if he would have stayed here, Harrell's right now is the number one receiving leader right now.
Harrell Carmichael, yes.
Reception yards.
By almost 3,000 yards.
Yeah, that, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He would probably be knocking on Harrell's.
No doubt.
Yeah. You would have had the number one receiver all time franchise history and the number one running back in all time in franchise history through these years if it wasn't for what Chip Kelly decided to do.
Yeah. Well, you know? That's what I was saying the other day. You had two guys that might not be... Now, I think LeSean McCoy is going to make it into the Hall of Fame eventually. Mm-hmm. You had two guys that might not be generational talents overall in the NFL. Maybe LeSean McCoy. Mm-hmm. Again, it's hard to say that. It's hard to say that anything to the contrary when it's a guy that could go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you look at LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, those are at least two guys generationally here in Philadelphia that would be those, you know, generational players.
Mm-hmm.
DeSean definitely had that talent. If he had those 5 years here, there's no doubt in my mind he'd be the number one wide receiver in the history of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unfortunate the way everything played out. Now, look, the Eagles want to find Super Bowl, so it doesn't sting as much as it might, or it should, or could. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you're bringing back now, presently, a still very skilled wide receiver in DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of him talking about getting into the weight room. I love the line about cheetahs don't stretch.
Yeah.
And now he feels like he has to stretch, and now he feels like he has to get into the weight room. He talked about some guys. It's funny, you still think of Zach Ertz as a young guy. And, you know, he is, but going into his, what, seventh year with the Eagles?
Yeah.
When he mentioned, it's good to be back here with guys that I know, like Lane or Jason Kelce and my guy Zach Ertz. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. They did overlap for about 2 years.
Yeah, Ertz's been here for a while.
Yes. Yeah. You think of him as a, you know, young buck, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now he's, you know, he's the middle age NFL type of tight end, which is crazy. But I just look forward to what he said about, or look forward to his relationship with Carson growing. Talked about being able to get that deep ball from Carson, be able to score some touchdowns. I loved everything I heard yesterday. And probably for most people that own a jersey, the best news, Mac Hollins was like, yeah, bro, 10's yours.
His tweet was great.
Yeah.
With the Geico Gecko?
Yeah.
What? Did he get paid for that? did he get the hookup?
I would think so. I think that's hashtag not an ad.
It must be. But
funny.
Kudos to him. Now, here's the thing. Now, we were talking about possibly what DeSean Jackson would be giving up or paying or how he would get that number back. Mm. I don't think they got specifics. I think the conversation went, this is just speculation. I think the conversation between him and Mac Hollins was like, dude, I'm number 10 for the Eagles. And Mac Hollins was like, yeah, you're right. And DeSean probably said something along the lines of, I'll take care of you guys later. Meaning the entire wide receivers room. Because he talked about doing something for the receivers on this team. So I'm thinking they got a gift on layaway right now from DJX. So we're going to talk about DeSean today, get our reaction, get your reaction from his press conference yesterday. We got some highlights from that we'll play for you throughout the show today. Dan Orlovsky will be on the program today. We'll talk to him about all things DeSean Jackson and the Eagles. Sixers have I don't want to call it a huge game tonight, but it seems like as they go down the stretch and they want to make some space between themselves and the Indiana Pacers, Bob.
They're all big.
They got to be some pretty big games.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris will join us today from your 10-9-8-76ers. We'll talk some basketball with him. And as we played for you yesterday, he and Boban Marjanovic, they were nice enough to play a little game with us at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Bobby versus Toby. Still can't pronounce the name Schuylkill. Can't pronounce the word Schuylkill. Has a little trouble with that one. We'll try it with him a little bit later on today. So we'll get into that. You're not going to believe, in case you haven't heard this yet, I know you guys were talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour. You're not going to believe what they had Nick Foles doing in Jacksonville after he was introduced.
Yeah.
I mean this. You're not going to believe it until you hear it. Yeah. I didn't believe it until I come into work today and I talked to our friend Trey Thomas. He may or may not have gotten a call from Nick Foles.
I know.
I can't confirm. I can't deny. I can only allege that that's what happened. Now, we'll let you know how that played out a little bit later. So we'll talk to Tobias Harris. We'll talk to Dan Orlovsky in the 9 o'clock hour. Now, what's Sunday? Sunday's a magical day. Is it not, Jamie?
It's a big day.
Is it a big day? What's happening Sunday?
Selections are being made.
Selection Sunday. So, Bob, we decided to reach out.
Kind of snuck up this year, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm like, oh, damn, we're here.
We've been distracted by Harper.
The same time every year, James.
That is, sources confirmed, yes.
We have been distracted by Harper Watch.
Harper Watch.
We've been distracted with NFL free agency.
Yes. It's nice when all your teams are relevant. The secondary things kind of become secondary.
I don't know what this feeling I'm feeling is. It's amazing. We got the Flyers trying to make the playoffs as well, although last night, womp, womp, not so much. So we decided, though, for Selection Sunday that we needed to reach out to an old friend, didn't we, Bob?
Yes, we did.
9 o'clock hour today.
Guy knows Tagger.
We are going to have, I kid you not, one of the people that is my favorite. One of my favorite people in the city of Philadelphia. The Colonel, Mike Kern, will join us to break down all things bracketology, all things Selection Sunday, all things college basketball, the NCAA tournament, and not just that, Bob. Zion Williamson.
My God.
Yeah, hello. I watched him last night.
Hello. Man.
He's a freak.
Welcome back, son. Welcome back. So Mike Kern will join us in the 9 o'clock hour to go over all things college basketball. If you want to join in on the program today, we do have a pair of tickets to the 76ers-Brooklyn Nets game on March 28th at the Wells Fargo Center. You'll get a pair of tickets for our caller of the day today. Just bring something to the table, some fine sports conversation. We'll put you in the running to win those tickets. And you can also win a spot. You will also win a spot in our knockout tournament after the game on the court. How about that? You can't beat that, can you?
No.
That's fantastic. So we're getting all that more as the show goes on today. 610-632, wide open board for you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear more from DeSean Jackson, his press conference yesterday. Time at the Fanatic 613.
Yeah, pass me the drone. Your name is John and say, John, pass me the drone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey Thomas, Mark Farzetta, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you today. Jamie on the updates today. Unaware. There you go, folks. Coming up in this segment, we'll run through some of the things DeSean Jackson got into. You just showed me a crazy video. I had not seen the Jordan Mailata stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was asked about Ben Simmons by ESPN.
And he was like, who?
He was joking.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, Benny. You mean Benny.
Benny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that his nickname now?
Benny.
Can't get it out of
Benny and Kenny.
Very nice. Maybe that'll be the thing.
I mean,
with good old Kenny Simmons.
I would imagine he got that Sixers jersey for her with Kenny on it.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine he got it as well.
I would imagine those are their names for one another.
Or maybe Josh Harris, because they sit next to each other.
They are
all the time.
Awfully tight.
They sit next to each other every time she's down there.
He's like bubbly when he's next to her. And that's not usually what Josh Harris is.
I don't know why I do this, but whenever I see Josh Harris in like a hoodie, I'm always like, interesting. Because you just expect the owner to be like in that suit and tie and whatever. And he's like, he's just one of the people.
Yeah, trying to blend in.
He's just chilling, man.
Yeah, just hanging out.
He's just chilling.
It's just kind of like when Mr. Lurie came out there with the strap-on New Balances. You know?
Yes.
Just trying to blend in. I'm a man of the people.
Right.
Throwing overhand cornhole.
Don't mind me. Just a billionaire hanging out.
Yeah.
Overhand cornhole, exactly.
Yeah. Billionaires can hang, too.
Just cooling out.
Inspired our whole
Bud Light.
He inspired our whole Super Hole tournament.
Somebody hold my beer.
Move.
You know?
I think you should hold a beer while you're playing a little cornhole. But we'll actually talk about Jordan Mailata for a second. Not now, but you showed me the video of him and Ben Simmons, and it made me think of something they were talking about yesterday with Jason and Anthony, which it seems like a lot of people are just throwing him into the mix as if he is going to be a consistent contributor to this team.
Yeah.
And although I like the guy, and I've had many conversations with him, and he's a hard worker, I have zero idea what he is going to give you as a offensive lineman. People are talking about, well, you'll have Vitae at least and Mailata if Jason Peters can't play. Mm. And I'm thinking, do we? Do we really have that? Because we didn't even know what we had with Vitae, and he's a guy you won a Super Bowl with at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to jump into that a little bit later, but I want to get into this DeSean Jackson stuff. Because as we were saying in the open, this seems to be a totally different guy. A totally grown-up version of the wide receiver that we saw 5 years ago in Philadelphia. A guy that was a couple of yards short of setting an all-time single-season franchise record. That's what left Philadelphia. You realize that? That's what goes to Washington. That's what ends up going down to Tampa. A guy that was going to set an all-time franchise record for it, and as you pointed out, Trey, be the all-time receiver in the history of the franchise, beating out Harold Carmichael. But that's a long shot right now. He'd have to have about 1,000 yards a year for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not impossible, but highly unlikely for a 32-year-old right now.
Maybe.
So yesterday, DeSean Jackson is addressing the media. He walks in there in that beautiful Kelly Green silk shirt. And he's talking about the guy that left versus the guy that has now arrived back in Philadelphia, where he talks about his age. Here's DeSean Jackson yesterday.
I'm 32, but I still feel like I'm running and playing like a 26-year-old. So as long as I'm able to stay healthy, not take any serious hits or serious injuries, I'm going to be here, man. I want to end my career here. I'm happy, like I said, I was able to come back here and, you know, finish off where I started.
I think of Steve Smith, because those two guys were big fans of each other. DeSean Jackson was someone that really admired Steve Smith. And Steve Smith played, till he was 37 years old?
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson would have at least 5 more years left in his game if that was the way he decided to go. But I love the idea of him wanting to end his career here. But I also am always cautious whenever an athlete talks about either the greatest shape of his life or they still feel like they're 26 years old. I mean, I can't identify, Bob. I know you played organized sports competitively.
It goes immediately to me.
Who was these golden people when they say they're in the best shape? Hey, Bob.
Did I say golden?
Why are they always talking about you? Why is everybody always talking about
you? You and Jamie, I swear. Thank God Trey's here.
Bob, did we not have a conversation yesterday about you breaking your own ankles?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I go to you. Were you around the age that DeSean would be at the end of his career?
I was a little bit older.
A little bit older.
I was about 38 when I broke the last ankle, yeah.
Just a wee bit older, all right?
I was informed that it was time to retire from basketball at that point.
Is that what the missus said?
That's what it was laid out for me, yes.
God bless you, Donna.
Yeah.
And then Trey, obviously. I mean, you reach back.
Mm-hmm.
I should go to Jamie for this, considering the lacrosse background and what happened recently. But you reach back to go get that speed or that move or whatever. Now, DeSean has been doing this for the 5 years. It's not like he took 5 years off.
Mm-hmm.
But what is there? How does it decline? How does it go away? How do you make up for what's not there anymore?
I mean,
he's still got some speed.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like even when we talked about Jason, when we talked to Jason Devine, I mean, even his losing of a step is still, what, a 4.3?
Yeah, right.
Or a 4.25? Mm-hmm. I mean, you still probably, he's probably will be the fastest guy on that team.
I don't know who would be burning him. It's not going to be Nelson Agholor.
No.
And he's the guy that's supposed to be right now the top off the defense guy.
Yeah, no. There was a race that we had during Chip Kelly's era with LeSean McCoy and Michael Vick. So we set up a 40-yard dash. Where, you know, we let them go at it. And I actually won $5,000 off that race. You know, but that's a whole other story.
Do you ever not bet?
I mean, you know, it's legal now. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
And when was this?
This was when Coach Kelly's first year.
Yes.
Who did you bet on?
I bet Vic.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right at the gate. I mean, you do. Like, he and Shady were going back and forth. I mean, and DeSean is just sitting there laughing. And I'm like, you know what, DeSean, don't even get in this. Because because if you get in the race, then I'm going to put all my money on you.
Yeah.
But it was just between Vic and Shady. But yeah, Vic dusted him. But I mean, DeSean Jackson, I mean, you're going to find somebody that still would probably be one of the fastest guys on that team. Right now.
I honestly, you think about the speeder, faster positions. You think about running backs, think about wide receivers, even think of safeties, right?
I don't always consider running backs the fastest guys. They're probably the shiftier guys. But when you
agile.
Look at, yeah, agile. But I think Darby was considered one of the faster guys on that team. Mm-hmm. I think DeSean will light him up.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. At 30-something years old.
From the guys that'll be catching the football regularly, he's the guy that's the burner.
In his silk shirt, because the wind, it cuts through. It's not, it's just, it breathes.
sleeves.
Right.
You know, it just flows.
Right.
It's like a cape.
It's like a flag in the wind.
Yes.
That's what he brings to the table there.
Yes.
But he goes back to reach for that, and he still has that type of speed, and there's no better testament to that than his yards per catch, which led the NFL last year, something he's done three or four times already in his career.
Yeah.
I love the idea of him talking about wanting to finish his career here, and I really do think he's going to be a great addition to this locker room, because something else you heard him talk about was being a veteran leader. I never thought I would hear DeSean Jackson talk about being a leader on a football team.
Maturity, man.
Maturity, exactly. So here he is yesterday, kind of talking about that maturity.
When I was younger, obviously, you know, I had the world in my hands, obviously coming into the NFL as a, you know, rookie and starting and, you know, having all the success early in my career, you know, it was kind of hard to, you know, get a hold of that at a young age. You get what I'm saying? But you have to go through things in life to, in order to mature. And I just feel like now, you know, I have a family, I have kids, you know, I do everything, you know, for them.
Oh, hey, Frank the Tank. Good to see you again. Haven't seen you in 5 years, you know, since college and everything. What's going on? You want to go out and party?
I can't. I have to take the kids to soccer practice in my minivan.
I'm family man now.
Yeah, so, you know.
That's what it was like yesterday.
We're
watching
Frozen.
Let it go, they say.
Yeah. it's not quite Tangled, but it's pretty good.
What's Tangled?
What, really?
Tangled? Is that a movie?
You don't know Tangled?
Is that with the girl with the hair?
Yeah. It's like the old school Rapunzel.
New school Rapunzel.
Yeah, hair's all tangled.
All right.
I got nieces.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Never heard of that.
I had to watch it with my buddy.
I've watched Frozen.
Don't hair shame, Jamie.
Disney shame, Jamie. No, I had to watch that. My buddy's got a kid. My buddy Joe lives in Pittsburgh. Yeah. He's got two little girls. I went over there after one of the Sunday night games we had in Pittsburgh, and I crashed at his place. I woke up, and I'm like, I guess we're watching Tangled.
Yeah.
I looked at Joe. I was like, this is your life now. Yeah.
Just never heard of that one.
Remember college, Joe?
Yeah.
That was fun.
I'm a big Pixar man myself.
Yeah, he's singing along with he knows all the songs.
DeSean is now a Disney dad.
DeSean,
the Disney dad.
Yeah.
That's what he has. Let's get to John here in Philadelphia. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, bud.
Listen, I hope he does mature, because the thing I remember most is when he's running down the field. I think it was his second or third game, and it was against Dallas, and he drops the ball at the one because he thought he scored.
It wasn't at the one. It was kind of at the half, you know.
Okay.
I remember, John, we all remember that. That was a Monday night game. We all said the same thing, and I think everybody knew it right away. I can't remember if they reviewed the play or not.
Yes, they did.
But they did.
They did?
Yeah. They did.
But I just remember thinking, they don't need to review this. That ball was clearly out of his hand before he crossed the goal line. But, I mean, after that, that was a guy that, like I said, and like we've pointed out already, this is a guy that would be leading the franchise in yards if he stuck around these 5 years.
I'm hoping to have one of them refs that we have now that, you know, clearly the ball is fumbled and, you know, clearly no one had it. So I was hoping we had a ref like that. But we surely didn't.
No.
But the other thing is, you know, on these running backs, I think we need to really, you know, I think, you know, Howie has something up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
He always pulls a rabbit out of his hat. And I'm hoping that's what this is right now, where he has the rabbit and he says, here you go, guys.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Look, I think I'm a pretty optimistic. And John, I'm going to put you on hold. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets. I feel like I'm a pretty optimistic guy with Howie, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the cap. I mean, we talk about the wizardry of Howie Roseman being able to manipulate the cap, shrink those numbers, get more cap space and all that stuff. And he's certainly done that with Lane Johnson this year. He's certainly done that with Jason Kelce this year. He has made money. He had made room for the cap to sign other players, like to go out and get DeSean Jackson, right? To go and re-up with Isaac Seumalo. He has created that cap space. But when it comes to trades and stuff like that, I don't know if that's something that's going to happen in the offseason. The thing I'm thinking he does is during the season. I think there's another Jay Ajayi trade to be made during the season. And I know that's something that I know people are still getting used to in the NFL, the idea of people actually using the trade deadline. When they moved it back, I thought it was a great idea. That was phenomenal. But right now with Howie, I don't get the sense that he's going to wave some magic wand and, what, the Eagles are somehow going to get a top 10 pick? They're going to go out there and trade for somebody else. It's going to have a huge impact. Now, look, I would like the idea of Duke Johnson coming here, but I don't look at Duke Johnson as if he is some massive game changer for the Eagles. I think he would be a very good addition.
And that's all we need.
Yeah, that's all. I think that's all the team needs right now. I still go running back, even though they went out there and they got a linebacker yesterday. I still think running back is their number one need over linebacker, just barely, but still there. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them get a skill position to help out Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's all they need. They just need somebody that's solid, that can come in, fit into the scheme. I mean, it's going to be a running back by committee anyway. And you need somebody that can catch out of the backfield. I mean, because you know we're going to air it out.
Yeah, and Duke Johnson, who could catch the ball out of the backfield. I know he's made a not necessarily a career out of that, but he really has put up numbers receiving out of the backfield. Yeah. That's what I like about his game.
Yeah, you know, the running back position is as much as we love it and we think it's this, you know, ideal thing or whatever, the Eagles just don't see it that way. So you're going to have to get used to this running back by committee. And your Johnsons, or your Duke Johnsons of the world, your, you know, second round, third round draft picks, your free agent pickups, that's what we're going to see, it looks like, out of the running back position, because that's just a devalued position anymore.
Yeah, there was reports out there yesterday. I know I saw it on Bleeding Green Nation. The Eagles are at least kicking the tires, showing interest in Duke Johnson, which would be great. But when I look at Howie Roseman, and you guys look at Howie Roseman, are you evaluating a guy that you think is all of a sudden going to pull that rabbit out of his hat? Because I don't want to give it, like, I love the guy. They won a Super Bowl with the team that he put together and all that stuff. But are we giving him too much credit now to the point where, oh, we're fine because in Howie we trust fully? I'll tell you, from my own personal perspective, I look at Howie Roseman and I think in Howie we trust when it comes to cap numbers. But when it comes to trades, when it comes to drafting, I know I've said, and I do believe this, that that's mostly Joe Douglas. But I don't look at Howie Roseman as if he is a guy that'll just snap his fingers and all of a sudden make this team into, you know, the favorite to win the Super Bowl again.
So do you think this is the roster, Mark, that they're going to carry into draft?
Into the draft. For the most part, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if they do make a move for Duke Johnson, with the reports already being out there that they want to make a move. But I don't feel like that's a rabbit out of the hat type move.
No.
Le'Veon Bell would have been that type of deal. Antonio Brown would have been that type of deal. I put it like this. With Howie and when Le'Veon was available, I did think that, oh, he's going to make something happen. Like, I'm not going to rule the Eagles out. I'm not going to go out of the way and say that he's definitely coming here or anything like that. But I wouldn't rule it out for Howie Roseman.
I think everybody was pulling for it. But, you know, hey, I do think that they have something up their sleeves. They're going to try to find something with someone else. If you don't go after Duke Johnson, that is definitely going to be somebody in the draft.
All right, somebody in the draft. So would they move up just to make sure? Because, again, 2 second-round picks, a later first-round pick. Right. Would they try to move up to ensure that they get the Jacobs from Alabama?
Is he worth it, though? Like, you know, you look at the running back tree in this draft, it doesn't seem to be, like, off the wall. Like, Jacobs seems to be a back-of-the-first-round type of pick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is that worth it?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think
either.
I don't. Well, put it this way: I don't think it's giving up. I don't think giving up your number one pick, first round pick, and a second is worth moving up. Maybe if you go back to the later rounds with your first to move up, fine. I think they have 2 fourth round picks. That's not something. That's something I'd consider, but I don't think that's going to be enough to move up in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you do, is that pulling a rabbit out of the hat anyway? Like, there's almost no more pull out of the rabbit out of the hat
right.
moves to make.
And the league year just started. It's already done.
Yeah.
Thanks to that illegal tampering period, there's no more rabbits to pull out of the hat. But look, that's the thing. Just when you're thinking there's not that move, will Howie counter and make another one?
Yeah.
I personally don't see it happening right now. I could see him making a trade for Duke Johnson, but I don't see that as being the, oh, look at that. Oh, now we're going to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I still think that there's a lot of work to be done in that draft coming up. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Trey, have you heard these phone calls yet?
Yeah, man.
Nick Foles.
I got the weirdest call yesterday.
You did get a call?
Yeah, because, you know, with me being, you know, I had some time in Jacksonville.
That's right.
Yeah,
you have a residence down there, right?
Yeah.
You would get a call.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Kind of weird.
Okay. All right. Well, I know Nick was making some calls yesterday. Yeah. And if you haven't heard this is absolutely insane what the Jacksonville Jaguars have done to our beautiful little flower, Nick Foles.
How's everyone doing?
I'm fine, Nick. We're just a little bit worried about you and this new job that you have.
Let's get it going. Let's go.
That has nothing to do with what you do on the football field. We're a little concerned. Bob, have you heard this yet?
I have. Crazy.
Concerned?
A little bit.
I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. We'll play that coming for you in a minute here. 610-632-0975. We got Joe, we got Eric, we got Mike, then you. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 640.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning coming up. I don't know what the weirdest job is or the first job you ever had, but they had Nick Foles doing a job that was not playing quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. Mm. It was definitely being a member of their organization. This was an odd one. What was your first job, Trey?
I used to deliver penny savers.
Like magazine, like whatever.
Little newspapers. So, you know, I had to go get the little newspapers, put them in the little roll, and I had my little bike route. I'd jump on my bike and ride through the neighborhoods and throw penny savers in the...
Did you have a satchel?
Yeah, I had a satchel.
Bob, what was your first gig?
I think it was landscaping.
Well, that's definitely not a gig,
like,
but yes.
12, 13, got on the back of the van and went out and cut lawns.
That's my first job was that as well. And this is a different one for Nick. I'll get to that in just 1 second. Joe in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? What's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
You know, I had a quick point about Howie and DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think with Howie, man, I believe in him, yo. I just like to see him nail a draft. You know what I'm saying? I really would like to see them nail a good draft, you know what I mean, for their sake.
Yes.
As far as the GM thing, the trades and things like that. I always wonder why NFL GMs never did that. I mean, he brings that out to me for years. I mean, even back into the 80s and 90s. Why do they sit there and not make moves? Why do they change the rosters around? I always wonder why NFL was so lackadaisical with that. And, you know, I think he's really good at that. And I think if he nails a couple of drafts, I mean, I really see him going to the top.
Yeah, Joe, real quick, you know what was really interesting is that last year they go and they actually get a guy that is pretty good in the second round in Dallas Goedert.
Yeah,
and you throw him the football and he scores touchdowns. They just rarely ever threw him the football.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's one instance. And then you got certain guys that get drafted high, don't touch the field or not in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and with D-Jack, man, it, you got to love it, man. I mean, you leave town gang, and you come back super dad. I mean, the thing about him is, to me, is that he's 32. He's never had any really major injuries. And, I mean, you're back in a system that you're familiar with. I mean, this is what Andy Reid, you know, he's very familiar with the system. There's nothing to get used to. I mean, it's just him and Wentz really, you know, getting together, getting timely and things like that. So, you know, I'm really expecting big things, man. This guy's 32, and he still leads the league in all big, you know, with all the great receivers, Odell and Antonio Brown. It's surprising that he still leads the league in all big play statistics.
Yeah, man, yeah. Still getting it done, Joe. Thanks for the call. I'm going to put you on hold. You're in the running for our Sixers ticket, so we'll get that going in a few with you, buddy. But you look back at some of these drafts, right? Like, Sidney Jones was supposed to be a steal. Has yet to prove that he was a second-round pick. Supposed to have first-round talent, maybe even top 10 talent, right? And supposed to be a steal. Had some injury issues, so not the case just yet. Derek Barnett, first-round pick, helped win you a Super Bowl. Russell Douglas looks like he bounced back. That's a pretty... You look at that 2017 draft class, it turns out that it's actually not terrible. The name that really jumps out to most people there, though, is Donnell Pumphrey, who, at a fourth-round pick, was...
Yeah.
Nothing really worth bragging about there. And then Shelton Gibson was Mr. Training Camp and didn't really give you anything during the course of the regular season. Mm-hmm. That's just 2017. So that was a pretty good draft when it came to Joe Douglas, when it came to Howie Roseman and that contingent. Last year, you got a good guy in Dallas Goedert. You just never threw him the football enough.
Yeah. Never understood that. I mean, the guy seemed like all he did was make plays, and I didn't understand why they didn't utilize him last year.
Yeah, me neither. Now, speaking of utilizing, Bob, I guess when you get a new quarterback, you want to put him to work as fast as possible?
Well, for all that money, he should work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
we're paying you this much.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't heard this yet, the Jacksonville Jaguars, after Nick Foles had his introductory press conference, they just gave him a tour of the facility, sat him down in the ticket office, and had him making cold calls to season ticket holders to renew their season tickets.
Yeah.
Here it is yesterday, Nick Foles, cold caller.
This is Myra.
Hi, Myra. This is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Steven, this is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get out of here.
Hey, Nick. Welcome to Jacksonville.
I got your name and wanted to see if you wanted to renew tickets for this season.
Yes.
Because we're going to need every single person out there yelling loud and creating a crazy environment for us. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad we got to talk, and I'm glad you're excited about it.
Welcome.
Been through thick and thin, so I'm looking forward to having another good year.
All right, I am too. I just want to give you a quick call and just make sure I could see you at the games and just let you know it's going to take everyone. But thanks for answering the call, Steven.
All righty. Thank you. Again, welcome.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. You too. Bye.
Awesome. Two for two. Got it.
I just would love one person to be like, I can't, Nick, sorry.
Nah, you guys have sucked for too long.
Yeah,
this is like on Wolf on Wall Street.
Sell me this pencil,
Sell me this.
Sell me this pen.
Yeah.
All right, give me that pen.
Do you have a pen?
Yeah, right. I'm blown away by that. Now, first off, you're a season ticket holder. You're a big fan. That's pretty cool to get the phone call from the guy, right? That's got to be a good experience, right, Trey?
I guess.
Seems kind of awkward.
Yeah, Trey, you seem to have reservations about this.
I mean, as a season ticket, I think a lot of people, they were caught off guard. Like, what are you doing?
Right. Now, you were telling me before the show, you got a weird call yesterday?
Yeah, man. It was so weird. We had to record it.
You recorded this call?
Yeah. It was wild. I'm like, really?
So, now you used to live down in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Obviously, you played there briefly.
Yeah.
So, you got to be on some database or something.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the database down there. I guess they found one of my numbers or something like that. And yeah, man.
All right. Let's take a listen.
Hello, this is Trey.
Hi, this is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Man. Yeah, f*** you, Jamie. This is Trey.
This is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, this is really Nick. Hey, what's up, Nick? How's everything going?
I got your name and wanted to see if you wanted to renew tickets for this season.
Renew my tickets? Oh, my God. What are they making you do down there, man?
Because we're going to need every single person out there yelling loud and creating a crazy environment for us, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sorry to tell you this, man, but there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to recreate that Philly atmosphere down there.
I'm glad we got to talk.
Cough twice if they're holding you against your will.
I just want to give you a quick call and just make sure I can see you at the games and just let you know it's going to take everyone.
Nick, don't hang up, Nick.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Don't hang up. We're tracing the call. Nick.
That is weird, man.
That's crazy, man.
That is insane.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
What are they doing?
I would be concerned, too.
Yeah, man. We got to get down there. I have to go down there.
They must have been monitoring the call. That's why he didn't cough. He's clearly in trouble.
Yeah. He's probably blinking.
Yeah.
We just didn't know, obviously, because of the phone call. That is insane. Well, good for you to stand your ground and try to help,
Him out, man. Fellow Eagle, man. And I know how it is getting down there into Jacksonville, you know. Totally different market after you've felt this type of love in the city, and to go down to Jacksonville is, you know.
Well, I'm just glad they have swimming pools in that stadium. Did you know that? They have two swimming pools. Mm. I didn't hear that as a sales pitch from Nick Foles to you.
No.
You would have gone for the swimming pool.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
People have definitely peed in those pools, right?
Oh, definitely peed in those pools.
Well, here's the thing.
Seriously?
Those pools, have you seen them?
Yeah.
You seen these, Bob?
Yeah.
Those pools are the glass front.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to pee in that pool. Next thing you know, you'll be a YouTube sensation. Let's get to Eric up here in Scotch Plains. Scotch Plains? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
What's up? Where's that at, Eric?
Central Jersey.
Ah, very nice. All right, what's on your mind today?
Nothing. First off, great show, guys.
Thanks.
And I just want to say, Trey, I appreciate everything you did as a player, coach, mentor. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Getting into this whole free agency thing and everything, I like the moves. I like bringing Deshaun back with the speed and everything like that. It's something we've lacked, and I love that. Obviously, middle linebacker and running back still an issue, but I just want to play Howie role for a second, and we keep talking about, does he have a trick up his sleeve? Does he have something going on? If I'm Howie, there's only one team I'm badgering and on the phone with right now, and it's just a crazy idea, but they have depth there now, is Melvin Gordon going into last year of his rookie contract. They have that rookie they like. They have Eckler.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I'd be calling up about Melvin Gordon going into that last year of the rookie contract.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, what is he now, 26 years old? He'll be 26 maybe? That's interesting. All the talent in the world, had an injury or two last year, he had some issues, but I'd love that. I would absolutely love to see Melvin Gordon here. I just don't know if...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.